The Shepherd-Hearted Love of Jesus, Part 2. The text is Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Last week we explored the sheep-shepherd relationship and how, when you compare the Western world model of shepherding with the Mideastern model of shepherding at the time of Jesus, there is a vast difference. Here in the Western world, the shepherd drives the sheep from behind, using the sheepdog to keep the sheep together and moving forward. Because what compels the sheep in that model is fear of the shepherd and the sheepdog. So they're always trying to get away from the shepherd as he drives them. With shepherding in Jesus' day and Jesus' culture, the shepherd leads from the front. The sheep don't run from the shepherd, they run towards him and follow him as he calls them, because the sheep know him well and trust him. They don't fear the shepherd, they fear being without him. They don't fear being close to the shepherd, they fear not being close enough. So they follow after him out of trust and dependence. Similar difference between how the Pharisees treated God's flock and how Jesus treated them. There was a context that Jesus came into and spoke from 2,000 years ago. That context was a Pharisee-ruled society of believers. Pharisees who loved money treated the flock harshly and added to the scriptures the oppressive rules of their rabbis. That was a dark time for the flock of God. And when Jesus came, he was a game changer. He brought a new kingdom characterized by love and grace and beauty and light and life. In fact, Jesus declared in John 10 that unlike the Pharisees who brought death, he came to give life, and life to the full, and that he was the good shepherd who would lay down his life for the sheep. Now we want to explore the shepherd-hearted love of Jesus as it relates particularly to lost or wandering sheep. Jesus told a parable about a shepherd who had lost one lamb, one little lamb, and how the shepherd reacts to the loss of that one little lamb and what the shepherd does for that one little lamb. And that parable speaks volumes about Jesus and his relationship with each member of his flock. No matter how unimportant we might be in the estimation of ourselves or others, Luke chapter 15, verse 1 begins with, "Now the tax collectors and," quote, "sinners," were all gathered together around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep.'" Let's dig into this parable a bit. But before we do, I want to read something as a very vivid contrast to what Jesus is describing about the shepherd in this parable. In the book of Ezekiel, 700 years before the coming of Jesus, the leaders of God's people were very much like the Pharisees of Jesus' day. So in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 1, we read these words, "The word of the Lord came to me, 'Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to you shepherds of Israel who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You've not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You've ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them." What a tragic situation. What injustice. And what strong language God uses to express his displeasure. Not at the wandering sheep. His condemnation is not for them, not at all. But to the shepherds of God's people that use the flock for personal gain, but do not care for the flock. How strange it is that people who receive positions of authority, supposedly for the purpose of serving the people, become corrupt and self-serving. It's nothing new. We see it in politics, in government service, in various institutions, and most disturbingly, as in the case here, in service of God and God's people. And the flock is neglected, even taken advantage of, and this grieves the heart of God. These verses I've just read describe the Pharisees and all abusers of God's people who came before and after them. But fear not. This has not escaped the notice of the living God, and God sends his own Son to set things right. But that is the context that Jesus came to. So it helps to understand what he says and why he says it. And note that one of the things that God has against the leaders in Ezekiel's day is that they did not bring back the strays or seek the lost sheep. And God said, "My sheep wandered over the mountains and on every high hill." He calls them my sheep. Did you notice that? Just because the sheep is wandering. The sheep might be wandering far and might be wandering long, but it doesn't mean he or she is not part of God's flock. So let's take a look at Jesus' view of all this as we compare his parable to the words in Ezekiel. It goes to the very heart of what Jesus means when he says he's the good shepherd. Luke chapter 15 and Matthew chapter 18 both have the same parable, but we are focusing on Luke. It says, "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it?" Two phrases I want to focus on in that verse: go after and until he finds it. A lost sheep, even one lost sheep, is precious to this loving shepherd. The wandering one consumes the shepherd's thoughts. So he has to go after her. He has to. But how far? Well, some versions translate it that he will go into the mountains in search of that lost sheep. But how long? The answer is in those four words: until he finds it. That shepherd will search for his lost sheep until he finds it. Then what? Verse 5, "And when he finds it, that wandering sheep has caused such great consternation for the shepherd. He's worried, he's fretted, he's probably shed tears, he's felt pain at her loss, and on top of that, he's searched far and wide, perhaps at much personal labor and expense. So when he finds it, he scolds the sheep." Does it say that? No, it doesn't say that at all. Instead, the shepherd drags it home and locks it up. No, it doesn't say that either. Not even close. Far from rebuking it or beating it or locking it up, it says he joyfully, not grudgingly, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. Oh, what intimacy, what affection. That's the sort of thing parents do for their beloved child. He puts it on his shoulders and goes home. As Charles Spurgeon writes, "When a shepherd has at last overtaken his poor, silly, wandering sheep, he does not straightway fall to scolding or beating it for having cost him so much toil and trouble. No, but he observes that it is very weary, that it has torn itself among thorns and cut itself among jagged rocks, and therefore he tenderly sees to its wounds and then bears it back to the fold in his own arms." That's what Spurgeon says. But the shepherd does not stop there. So great was the care that this shepherd had for the well-being of his beloved sheep, and so happy to be reunited with her, that it says, then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I've found my lost sheep." Well, that's quite a big deal he's making of this, isn't it? He calls not just a friend, but friends. And not just friends, but neighbors too. Friends and neighbors alike are all called out for this event. So important was this celebration of the reuniting of the sheep with the shepherd. And it is Jesus that says this. Jesus himself. And he says it about his lost sheep, his wandering lamb. That gives us a glimpse into his shepherd-hearted love. And if this is Jesus' view of his lost lambs, it should be ours as well. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus says something very interesting that directly applies to this. It says, "For the Son of Man," that's a name Jesus often calls himself, The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He came for that purpose. If he came for that purpose, then it must not be a secondary issue. It's a primary issue. And if it is Jesus' primary reason for coming, it is our primary reason for being here. His purpose is our purpose. I'm sure we all know of believers in the area that have, at least for now, given up on church attendance. There may be many reasons for this, but oftentimes it's because they were mistreated by someone in their church. How tragic that lambs find it safer to fend for themselves in the wilderness than to be together with the rest of the flock. One of the failings of the shepherds in Ezekiel's time, God said, "You've not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured." That's what the church should be about. The church is supposed to be a place of healing, not a place of wounding, a place of binding, not a place of injuring. Because Jesus wants to heal, not wound. But he doesn't usually do this healing all by himself. He partners with his disciples. Yes, strange as it may seem to us, Jesus is so committed to partnering with us in the healing things he does. He will use us to bring his very healing to others. Sometimes, with just a listening ear and a heart of compassion, or a gentle answer, a kind word, or oftentimes a simple prayer. And here's the thing. If we don't bring that healing of Jesus to his wounded lamb, it may not be brought, or it might be long delayed. That's quite a responsibility. We all follow the shepherd. We all walk in the ways of the shepherd and seek to emulate the shepherd. So his purpose is our purpose, and that makes us all shepherds to one degree or another. So let's all be about the task of shepherding God's flock, of seeking out the wandering, gently carrying them back to the fold, gently tending their wounds, not to bring attention to ourselves, that we are such caring people, but to bring attention to Jesus, that he is such a caring shepherd. For they are Jesus' lambs, and we are Jesus' partners in his shepherding love. And if you are like that lamb that has been wandering in the mountains, know that the Good Shepherd has been searching for you and longs to bring you home with great celebration. So listen to his gentle call and follow him home. Here's a poem about the Good Shepherd. In heavenly love abiding, no change my heart shall fear, and safe is such confiding, for nothing changes here. The storm may roar without me, my heart may low be laid, but God is round about me, and can I be dismayed? Wherever he may guide me, no want shall turn me back. My shepherd is beside me, and nothing can I lack. His wisdom ever waketh, his sight is never dim. He knows the way he taketh, and I will walk with him. Green pastures are before me, which yet I have not seen. Bright skies will soon be o'er me, where darkest clouds have been. My hope I cannot measure. My path to life is free. My Savior is my treasure, and he will walk with me.